The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the WEEI Producer Show right here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. Shime and Terp with you up until 6 o'clock. We've hit on some Celtics, hit on a little bit of Bruins here as they get ready for the Ottawa Senators and the return of Linus Olmark tonight. But more importantly, Terp, the New England Patriots have a game tomorrow against the Chicago Bears in Chicago. Rookie on rookie crime here. We get Drake May versus Caleb Williams. I'm curious your thoughts. The spread currently lies at 6, Bears by 6. What are your thoughts on Pats Bears heading into tomorrow's game?
I think that spread's a little big, to be honest. Just looking at Chicago's wins, they're against teams that are combined 10-24. It's the Tennessee Titans, the Los Angeles Rams, the Carolina Panthers, and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Mm-hmm. So they haven't really impressed me, to be honest, which is weird because they have plenty of talent. Like,
yeah,
we were just talking about the offense off mic, like, they got Keenan Allen, Roma Dunze, DJ Moore, DeAndre Swift.
One of the best receiving cores in football.
I'd say one of the, maybe the best.
Yeah.
Like, that's one great core. But I don't know, the 6 points seems like a lot for me.
Yeah, I would tend to agree that 6 seems like a lot here. I know the Patriots haven't been great, but I mean, they were in that Tennessee game. That's a game they probably should have won and didn't. They beat the Jets just a couple weeks ago now. And you just look at these Bears games and the two teams that they've beaten by more than 6 have been Tennessee in week 1. They beat by 7.
They didn't score an offensive touchdown. That doesn't count.
Yeah, exactly. They came back from down, what was it, 17-7 or
17-10? Courtesy of Will Levis.
Yeah, thank you,
Will
Levis.
That's why.
That was so good. And then they beat the Panthers, who are the literal worst team in all of football. And then the Jacksonville Jaguars in London, they dominated. That was the best Caleb Williams has played all year, was that Jacksonville game. And I think that, for me, is the biggest thing the Patriots have going for them. Is I don't think Caleb Williams has been great most of the year this year. He's been very hit or miss. The offensive line has been atrocious, so he has been dilly-dallying in the pocket and kind of running around and not as decisive as Drake May has been.
Yeah, they've used, like you said, the offensive line. They've used 12 different offensive linemen this year and allowed 29 sacks.
And the Patriots have used, what, 13?
13, and they've allowed, what, 31 sacks?
Yeah.
So pretty close. So pretty close contrast there. And I'm with you. I think Caleb Williams hasn't looked like this generational star that they were expecting with picking him first overall. Like, I think he's had a lot of mistakes. Like, granted, he's a rookie. And,
yep,
like, I think most of them have. Even Jaden Daniels, he's had a lot of mistakes as well. They've all made mistakes. I mean, what, the first 4 weeks of the season, none of the rookie quarterbacks threw a touchdown. It set an NFL record for most combined pass attempts between rookies that didn't have a touchdown pass. So it's been a lot of kind of getting used to it and easing in. But I haven't been really wowed by Caleb Williams. And granted, we've only seen a little bit of him. He's got plenty of room to grow. But just looking at it on the short term going into the Sunday, this is a winnable game.
Yeah, I mean, Caleb Williams has statistically been one of the, if not the worst quarterback throwing the ball down the field. So there's an opportunity here for the Patriots secondary to have a bit of a get-right opportunity. They have not been good. The secondary, the whole defense has been atrocious for New England. And so the thing that scares me the most about this matchup is really DeAndre Swift. It's not Caleb Williams. It's not the receivers. It's the running back. You have given up so many rushing yards over the last 2 weeks. Like, Tony Pollard took you out to dinner and ate your lunch. And then, I mean, 2 weeks ago, Tank Bigsby owned you. The Jacksonville Jaguars ran the ball 19 straight times and didn't hesitate for a moment. And that's because you just couldn't get a stop. And so for me, I think the thing that scares me the most about this matchup tomorrow is DeAndre Swift.
Yeah, and if you're looking at the rushing attack too, and the Bears allowed 213 rushing yards, so this could be a get-right game for New England's rushing attack.
Do you think, though, that Ramondre Stevenson will have a good game?
I mean, he's shown he can. I think
2 weeks in a row now, though, he's averaging like 2.1 yards per game.
Under 2.7, I believe it is. They've shown he can. There's a reason they paid him, and I do think this is a game that he could bounce back on. We'll see. Like, the offensive line has been a big problem.
So do you think it has been more the offensive line over the last 2 weeks or the running back?
I think actually a lot of it has been on Ramondre as well. I mean, he just hasn't been seeing the field well, which has been a problem. Like, your best rusher has been Drake May. And if not for Drake May, you're probably at the bottom right now of rushing total rushing yards in the league.
Yeah, I also think that in large part, too, this is probably because I think Van Pelt's offense sucks. It's so vanilla. It's so plain. It just, there's no rhyme or reason to it a lot of the time. It's just like, here's the play call. Go run it.
You know what's funny, too? Like, going into the year, when Jacoby Brissett, like, obviously was your starter at that point, your plan was to run the ball, short, quick hitters, and screen passes. Why is there no, like, creativity?
There's
to
no
run
screen
game?
Passes.
There's no screens. Well, they sometimes there are, but not as much
good
as
screens.
Can we dump this tight end screen? Can we get rid of it?
The only team that does that well is the Kansas City Chiefs.
Because there's creativity to it. There's motion.
It's
there's rhyme
Travis
and reason.
Travis bleeping Kelce.
Right. So for a team that was going to center their offense around short passes, short or quick hitters, and running the football, where is the creativity to these play calls?
There's none.
It's so vanilla. Don't get it.
It is like, it's like blast. Blast right, blast left. It's like, all right, here's a toss.
It's almost like Van Pelt is stuck on, like, he's just running hurry up offense in Madden. He's stuck on, like, one play. He's got three play calls. That's what it's like. Where is the creativity?
There's none to it. And the lack of motion has bugged me all year. I think that is, it's just such a cheat code for offenses to find out if you're in man, facing man or zone, to get guys moving at the snap and create some speed that you just don't have elsewhere. And it's just underutilized. Like you said, the running attack should be far more creative, but it's just very like power, blast, toss, power. Power. It's just like there's nothing else to it. Here's a stretch run for you. That's how we're gonna mix it up. Here's a stretch right. Like, it's like, what are we doing? Like, give me something. I don't understand why there's not more like Drake May read options. Like, it's like I understand you don't want Drake May to run as much as he does. That's fine, but like, you can still do the classic Aaron Rodgers, stick it in the running back's gut, and it's like, oh, Davante Adams is running on a quick slant. So Pop Douglas is open on a quick slant. I pull it out and throw it to him. Like,
part
why
of
are you doing that?
Is they literally don't have the time to do it. That's part of the problem.
That's fair.
Like, you have to sell those fakes. It takes a couple seconds.
Okay, but then why are we not running more play action?
I'm with you on that.
Like, the play action, I think some of Drake's best plays through his first three full games have been those play action bootlegs, and then it's like a half field read because it's just a simple levels concept. It's Kayshon Booty, it's Hunter Henry, it's Pop Douglas. It's one of the three, and he makes a great throw down the sideline, and 9 times out of 10, it's a great throw.
Drake May's at his best when he's moving around in the pocket.
Couldn't agree
more. He's sitting back there, and just these standard passes just doesn't work. So if you get him bootlegging on the play action, whatever it may be, it looks better. And it allows for him to create these impromptu plays, which I don't understand the hatred for these. Like, I understand you don't want your quarterback to be running a ton, especially when he's a rookie coming off a concussion. I get all that. But that is why you go out and get a player like Drake May.
Sure.
Because he has the ability to make those off-script plays and change the game. It's literally energized this offense. The offense looks completely different because he's making these plays that he gets out of the pocket. He keeps plays alive with his legs, like, can run the ball. That's so important, and I just don't understand why people don't want to see more of it.
Yeah, I don't either. And this was a kid, even I had said this leading into the draft and post-draft, is like, he had 1,200 yards rushing at UNC over 2 years plus, let's say. And he had 16 rushing touchdowns. Like, this kid is lethal inside the 10-yard line with his legs. And I don't understand why they haven't designed ways to utilize that more. And utilizing his legs doesn't require him running the football for yards. Like, utilizing his legs is, you know, play action boots, slide the pocket. It doesn't even need to be play action. Like, it's like, all right, snap the ball, everybody slide right.
And aren't those perfect for those quick hitters that you want to run your offense on?
100%, especially with a guy who has such a strong arm and can throw it from so many different arm angles. It's like, okay, pop, leak right, Hunter Henry runs it out route. It's like, boom, done. It would become so easy, and yet they refuse to do it.
And I will say on Drake May, I was down at Gillette with the afternoon show on Monday. When he walked in, it blew me away how big he is.
He's Josh Allen.
Dude. He's Josh Allen. Like,
maybe not. I think Josh probably has him by like 15, 20 pounds. But like, okay, so he's more like Justin Herbert.
But
he's,
you know,
big.
He's going to put on that weight this summer.
Oh, yeah, yeah. 100%.
He's going to bulk up. Expect that he's going to bulk up this offseason. But
sure.
When he walked
get
in,
him on the real man style.
It blew me away of just how big he is. Because we knew he was a big guy. But when you see him in person, he's like built. Like, I was shocked.
Yeah, I forget who. Somebody asked me one day, they're like, how big is Drake May? I'm like, I think he's like 6'3", 6'4". No, he's 6'5".
6'5". And he's a big 6'5". Like, he is a big dude.
And that's the thing, too. It's like a big dude that can move. Like, that's not something that you take lightly. And another thing, too, and maybe they haven't just been in enough situations for it, but shouldn't you be worried? Like, third and short, fourth and short. Shouldn't you be like, oh, yeah, just give the ball to Drake and QB sneak this? What are we doing? He's 6'5", 220 pounds. It's just... This should be an 80% success rate. Just why aren't you even thinking about that?
No, I get it. I get that they want to protect their franchise. This is your franchise.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, this is it. If he can be this elite quarterback that teams or the Patriots and fans are hoping he can be, you are immediately back into contention once you get better talent around him. So if they say this year, go out and spend that cap space that they have plenty of and build around Drake May, if he is the player that he appears to be and that they hope he is, that expedites everything. You are immediately back into the conversation of at least contending for the postseason.
So I agree with that, but at the same time, Alex Van Pelt needs to be worried about his job. Like, he needs to make sure that this offense looks good enough that he keeps his job. Because if they don't, he's out, and they'll bring in somebody else that's going to maximize Drake even more.
But Drake May is going to save Alex Van Pelt in the sense that, do you remember early in training camp, the reports coming out of there about how Drake May didn't look ready, how he was behind schedule?
Yeah, because that was all Patriots fed. He was absolutely ready for week one.
But even the beat reporters coming out of there saying, he doesn't look as great as he was expected. Alex Van Pelt, there's no denying that he is light years better than what he was in beginning of training camp. And granted, that's to be expected, right? He is getting NFL reps.
Yeah, but who gets credit for the way Drake has evolved? Is it Alex Van Pelt? Is it T.C. McCartney, the quarterback's coach? Or is it just Drake May being Drake May?
Well, I think Alex Van Pelt and T.C. McCartney will both get credit for it, but it's masked by the deodorant that is Drake May. Drake May is being himself, and these guys are going to get credit for it.
Like, I watched Drake May play. I'm like, yeah, this is what he did at UNC. Like, this is exactly who he was, and yet it's just in a way more dumbed down offense. Like, they should be, it hurts me to my core to see Cliff Kingsbury having success in Washington, because I'm like,
could have had that guy,
because schematically they would have been the perfect match.
Yeah,
it's a guy who can move, a guy who can spread it out, and then just like West Coast offense, spread him and shred him. Like, it would have just been, oh,
but
God.
That's the thing. Alex Van Pelt wasn't even their number one option.
No,
they were almost forced to take him.
Yeah.
So that
they needed
does,
to sign a guy.
In a way, it contradicts what I was saying about how his job's kind of safe, because do they really believe in this guy?
I don't.
It's kind of hard, too, but you see the development of the quarterback, and again, that's your franchise. That's all that matters right now.
And it has never felt like Jerod and him are like tied to the hip. Like, I think Jerod is tied to DeMarcus Covington. I think those two are linked.
That kick slide thing didn't do it for you?
Yeah, no.
That touchdown celebration?
Because that means... Okay, hold on. We need to talk about this. Because that little touchdown celebration, the little kick high five crap...
It's adorable.
No, it wasn't. That was stupid. You hate the goalie hug. You should hate this.
No, I hated that.
Because you want to know something that's different? The goalie hug doesn't need to be practiced. That handshake needed to be practiced.
It was also scripted. You know, Jerod Mayo goes, they seek each other out after the touchdown. Like, hey, let's do it now. Let's do it.
Let's do it right now. You know they had to practice that at some point.
And the most rich part of it is it came off a play that, first of all, they don't really want to see.
No.
Is him making those impromptu runs. And it's also a play that you could have had in week one if you started the guy. But you couldn't. You had to wait till week eight or whatever it was to debut the dance because you wanted to delay him starting.
Oh, great text, by the way. I forgot this happened. 978 text. Remember when Merrill Hodge said anyone who drafts Drake May should be fired? You're right. I forgot about that. I need to go find that. I can't wait to play that on Monday morning.
That is.
Especially if the Patriots somehow win on Sunday. Oh, 978 texter. You're a godsend.
To that point, I feel like the big conversation around Drake May after the draft going into the season was that he is more of a developmental piece. This is a guy that they are going to mold and that it's going to take some time with him. I haven't felt that way.
No.
I mean, sure, there's been...
Everybody was all butthurt about, like, they're so worried about his footwork. Like, it's been fine.
Okay, and really, footwork is the worst thing to analyze because half the people talk about it have no clue what they're looking at.
And I want you to take a microscope, and I want you to look at the best quarterbacks in football. Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes. Tell me which one of them has amazing footwork. I'll wait.
Nobody's breaking down footwork.
I'll wait.
It's not happening. So no. I just haven't seen it with, like, Drake May that... People were saying this was going to be a developmental piece. I haven't seen it. And in fact, I think he's been, in a way, I think he has overachieved and has had higher expectations. But That's why you took him in with the third pick. Like, let's not act like we're surprised. Like, this is why you go out and get him. But I do think just how fast it's happened, it's pretty impressive.
I thought there would be a learning curve when it came to Alex Van Pelt's offense and Drake understanding and processing that, just because it was so different than what he ran in college.
Well, it's like a high school offense. That's so baseline of vanilla.
That's what I didn't account for. And secondly, he picked it up halfway through training camp. Jerod Mayo told you the entire second half of training camp, he outplayed Jacoby Brissett.
And that goes back to like just the organizational disconnect where
so bad.
Jerod Mayo is publicly saying that Drake May outplayed your starting quarterback, yet you're going to bring him off the bench. Why? It doesn't sound to me that Jerod Mayo, who has talked about putting the team in positions to win, he's on record on the Greg Hill Show, over four wins. Their plan was to win. You think you're the better quarterback.
Should
you're going to put him on the bench and your plan is to win. You can't
consciously, also took him with the third overall pick.
Right. You can't consciously say that you want to win games and then bench Drake May at the beginning of the season. It makes no sense.
I couldn't agree more. 617-779-7937. If you want to get on the New England Patriots discussion, we're going to get into more of Drake May, maybe an overall evaluation of what Terp has seen from him so far through his first four games of the season. We'll continue with that all coming up next year on the WEEI Producer Show. But right now, Tom's going to get you caught up with what's trending around the world of sports.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You know what? Maybe he was onto something, though.
What was he onto, Jim?
Maybe Drake May will get you fired in the sense that he is so good and your complete ineptitude to surround talent around him will get you fired.
Oh, you know what? That's what he was onto it. Alex Van Pelt is going to get fired this year because Drake May is too good.
Elliot Wolf. I mean, hey, you didn't give this kid enough, and yeah, you're done.
This is the WEEI Producer Show right here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. Shime and Terp with you here. That was Merrill Hodge from before the NFL draft talking about Drake May. And
what a dope.
It makes me so happy because I think overall Drake has had a pretty good first, because he has played now, what, three full games? Yeah, because he came out of that Jets game early because of the concussion. So he has played three full games in the NFL. In those three games, he has 206, 276, 243 yards passing, a total of six touchdowns, four interceptions, and two lost fumbles. I don't know about you, Terp, but I have been highly impressed from what I've seen from Drake May. He also had 95 rush yards last week and has a total of, I want to say, like 200 rushing yards so far in three games. 209 rushing yards so far. And so this is a guy who accounted for 96% of your offense in a game against Tennessee where he got you to overtime on a crazy last-second play. I have come on the post-game show here at WEEI following every single Patriots game and given my Drake May report card to Fitzy and Hart. I've been consistently in the three games. I've been in the B-plus range. And so for me, that's kind of where he's been so far. I'm curious your thoughts so far. Three full games of Drake May, where are you at with him as a player and kind of his development overall?
You have the guy. You have the quarterback. And that's half the battle for an NFL team, is finding a guy that you can believe in, guy that can elevate your team and bring you back to hopefully contention. And it seems like he has that. He has it. And
yeah.
I mean, I've been blown away. And if you look at that game in Tennessee on Sunday, they are not in that game if not for Jacoby Brissett.
You mean Drake May?
Drake May, sorry.
Don't you put that on me,
If
Ricky
not
Bobby.
For Drake May. My bad. If not for Drake May. I mean, he had 95 rushing yards. The team itself had 15 on 12 carries. It's just his dual threat ability is so important.
And that's hold on. You're saying the two running backs on the team, Antonio Gibson and Ramondre Stevenson, had 15 yards on 12 carries.
That is correct.
Holy smokes.
Your quarterback had 95.
I just, for to put that in perspective for people, the Las Vegas Raiders currently have the worst EPA per rush in NFL history, which means they are the worst rushing offense in the history of the NFL. That performance on Sunday was worse than anything they've done all year.
It's brutal. It's brutal. Yeah. But he keeps you in games, and a lot of it's because he has that impromptu ability to make plays, and that's what you look at guys like Mahomes, like Lamar Jackson, even like Joe Burrow. They make these off-script plays that keep you alive and end up winning you games, and I know it really hasn't shown up in the win column, but look at that last play of regulation on Sunday, for example. That's a play you see those guys make.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that is
all
a
the time.
Play you see those guys make. So his
Lamar
ability
did
to do
it on
that,
Thursday night. That Ravens-Bengals game was insane.
Insane. And you see that if there's talent around him, and you hope there will be eventually with all the assets and capital they have this year, that you are in contention next year to at least compete for the playoffs.
Yeah, you need to be. Like, this is what you should be building towards. You have the guy. You know where you are. It is time you spent money and draft capital to go support him as best you can, because that's what you need to do. This is, I mean, Boomer Esiason, for perspective outside of New England, and I am the biggest Drake May honk, so I'm the last guy you want to ask, because, of course, I'm going to say he's been good. But, like, Boomer Esiason has said on the Greg Hill Show, yeah, like, this is... he is special. Like, he has it to play in the NFL. And so now it's just a matter of building on that and improving on that. And I think overall, the one big concern that a lot of people have been the turnovers. Through three games, he's had four interceptions and two forced fumbles, and probably thrown a decent number of turnover-worthy balls outside of those plays. So I'm curious your thoughts on his turnovers so far this season.
Well, I think it's twofold. First of all, I think it's him being a rookie quarterback.
Yeah, definitely.
I think it's part of the growing pains.
Yep.
We've seen him, what, five games this year, or four, because he didn't really play in that Jets game.
Yeah, he threw six passes in the second Jets game, eight passes in the first Jets game in garbage time that didn't matter. So really only three full games.
You really haven't seen it. So I think part of it is him being a rookie quarterback, and they're going to make that mistake. And the other, it's just part of his game, and that was known coming into it. And Josh Allen is the comp that everyone likes to use. He's Josh Allen in his build, the way he plays. Look at young Josh Allen.
Josh Allen's like stats and his performance in those first 2 years was not great.
Not great. And he'll eventually grow out of it. But it's always going to be there. It's always going to be part of it, because look at Mahomes, for example. And I'm not comparing Drake May to Patrick Mahomes, but I'm comparing the style of play and keeping the ball alive with those unscripted plays, keeping plays alive. That's inherent risk. Is turning the ball over.
Absolutely.
And honestly, though, it's worth it, because you also have the potential to get touchdowns and score points. Look at the points the Patriots are scoring. It's him staying alive, keeping plays alive.
I mean, the rushing touchdown, the touchdown at the end of the Tennessee Titans game, like all of it.
So it's inherent risk in the way he's playing, the way he plays the game. So it's always going to be there, but it's not always going to look like this.
And I also think there's a bit of, right, especially right now, and this should go away over time, but right this moment, there's a bit of Superman effect.
Yes.
And so there is such little around him that it requires him to do so much that he is prone to make mistakes. He thinks that everything is on his shoulders, and therefore, like, that interception in overtime, I think, was a result of Superman effect. That's not a play he needs to make. You have plenty of time. He's already done it two or three times this season, where 2 minutes on the clock, drive down the field and get six. Whereas in this situation, he felt like he needed it all in one play, because the rest of his team couldn't do anything else.
And part of it, too, is this is a desperate football team.
Yes,
they know they can't win by playing traditional football, like how teams want to play. They need to hunt those big plays, because that's the only way they're going to stay in games. So he understands that, and he's a rookie quarterback. He's a young kid. He's 22. So he's going to make those mistakes, right? So it's part of it. It's inherent risk. Part of it's him being a rookie quarterback. And the other part of it is them being a desperate football team and having to make those plays. He has to seek those plays. And Devon Godshaw talks about it, too. It's not just him. It's the defensive side of the ball does it,
they
too.
They stink.
Remember, after they lost to San Francisco, Devon Godshaw said on these airwaves that people were being selfish in an effort to make plays.
Yep.
Everyone across the board on this team is trying to make plays that are forcing it and putting them in bad position and position.
It's one of the reasons I think Covington and Mayo have been so adamant about the run game. It's just like, do your assignment. Like, hit your hole, get your guy and then tackle the guy in front of you, and then maybe the run defense will be a little bit better, and they just have not done that.
And I don't want to sound like a broken record, but it's hard to really judge and adjust it, because you want Drake May to play within the flow of the game, even though you're not going to really win games by doing that. You want to build good habits. You don't want him to grow like sporadic here and start playing crazy. You don't want that, especially with a young quarterback. But you also have to understand that this is why you go out and go get a guy like him, because he has the ability to do this.
Yeah, it's crazy to me. Like, you look at Drake May through four games, he's thrown the ball 125 times, 65% completion percentage, close to 66%, 770 yards, six touchdowns, four interceptions. In Josh Allen's rookie year, right, in 11 games he threw the ball 320 times. Drake May is going to blow by that number probably, or actually probably come pretty close. But he only completed 52% of his passes for 2,000 yards, 10 touchdowns, and 12 picks. And that was in Josh Allen's rookie year, who is, without a doubt, one of the best quarterbacks in football right now, right? He's in that upper echelon with Lamar, Joe Burrow, and Patrick Mahomes. Like, it is those four guys above everybody else. And Drake May's evolution isn't going to take as long as Josh Allen's did. It's just not. He's already head and shoulders better than what that was. So that comp to me is even a little weird. I feel like the better comp might be Justin Herbert. Like, Herbert came into the league, randomly got a start because the trainer decided to puncture Tyrod Taylor's lung with a needle, so Tyrod couldn't play. And so then Herbert comes in and takes Kansas City down, and Patrick Mahomes down to like the wire in his first game, and then throws for a million yards, and he's awesome. And it's like, oh, you immediately knew Justin Herbert was going to be good. I think Drake May is more like that than he was Josh Allen.
And you sign up for that any day of the week if you're the Patriots.
Absolutely. Look what the Chargers are doing this year. Jim Harbaugh knows. He's like, I'm going to be super efficient on offense, running the football, passing the ball, and then on defense, we're going to be freaking awesome. That's what the Patriots need to build
like. I wish they would let Herbert kind of sling it a little bit more. Go, like, so they have conservative.
They have the last couple weeks. It's interesting you brought that up, because like the first couple weeks of the season, they were one of the highest run rate on first down in the league. Over the last 3 weeks, however, they are one of the highest teams at passing over expectation in all of football now, because the run game kind of stalled a little bit. Dobbins slowed down a little bit. It wasn't as effective. The offensive line got a little banged up. And it's like, all right, let's just let our quarterback cook. And he has been – Quentin Johnston has come on now. Ladd McConkey has been awesome. So they are not afraid to let Herbert just drop back and sling it.
Patriots could have had that Ladd guy. Could have had him.
So I think that's probably the sliding door moment so far for the year, right? You look back and the N'Keal Harry draft is like, well, you could have had Debo or DK Metcalf.
It's always going to happen.
This idiot. And then this year, you trade out of the pick – that the Chargers come up and take Ladd McConkey, and then you take Jalen Polk. Like, that's such a kick right in the nards.
I really hope things work out for Jalen Polk. I mean, he was a productive receiver.
I loved him coming out of college
at
Washington.
I thought he was going to be great. People really had high hopes. But the problem is, like, when you're a young athlete like that and everyone's piling on you, like, it's clearly a mental block right now. But then, you know, he's not really doing himself any favors.
Yeah, when you say you have the best hands in the league, you need to come out and back that up.
I don't have any mental issues when Jerod Mayo was talking about how it was like a mental hurdle.
That whole receiver room has just been a disaster. And I think that's part of it, right? I think he has not had the proper leadership next to him in order to guide him the right way. And that has been the biggest issue, is that, like, he was a rookie, he got a rut, and it has just continued in spiral.
But isn't this a whole big part of the reason they hired Jerod Mayo is because of his ability to connect with younger players. So
that was what we were told.
So they hoped. They're completely unhinged. Like, where's the connection?
The whole team is unhinged.
Where's the connection? And I hate, like, everyone always talks about it. This wouldn't happen under Bill. I hate that everything's compared to Bill. But that's just the reality.
Well, yeah, he was here for 25 years.
No matter what, everything's going to be compared to Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
But the whole thing with Mayo is, part of the reason they fired Bill, and there was a lot of reasons that went into it. It wasn't just one thing that went into it, but part of the reason he was gone is because he lacked the ability to connect to the younger players.
Correct.
Now Jerod Mayo comes in, and clearly he can't connect with them either. So no. I don't understand it. Like, this was a big selling point on Jerod Mayo, is that his ability to connect with these players, to reach that younger generation, something that Bill kind of lost his fastball with. Where is it? Where is it? Like, these guys are, like, it's just how bad it is. It's just because of how unhinged they are says a lot. Like, it's just ridiculous.
So we talked about Jim Montgomery possibly losing his job. I mentioned Alex Van Pelt possibly losing his job. Do you think there's any scenario at which Jerod Mayo loses his job after this season?
I don't. Just the way Robert Kraft talks about him, comparing him to finding his wife.
That's just such a bad look.
Saying like, he hired him 6 years ago.
Yeah, like I knew he was going to be my head coach 5 years ago, and then like all of a sudden you fire him after a year.
It's not happening. I also think as much as the Krafts want to win now, they had an understanding that it wasn't going to happen overnight. And I hope they have a plan. You would think they do with what they're going to do this offseason, but I just think he thinks so highly of Jerod Mayo.
I tend to agree with you too. And like, for a guy who is so desperate to get in the Hall of Fame, the idea of hiring a minority coach and then immediately firing him isn't a great look. And so I think that image alone, too, is something that he wouldn't do. On top of the fact that, like you mentioned, like he considers Jerod like a son of his at this point. And like they went on this trip and he's like, yeah, I knew he was going to be my coach. And so I think Jerod's job is guaranteed safe this year. Next year, it may become more into question. But that's why I think that Alex Van Pelt is very much on the hot seat this
Another
year.
Thing, too, with, he's going to have a scapegoat.
Yeah.
We'll see who it is.
Somebody's
going to pay for it
or Alex Van Pelt. Somebody's got to pay Somebody made the decision to not start Drake May in
week
one.
But the thing with Robert Kraft, too, is he loves to blame Bill Belichick.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They are blaming Bill Belichick.
For the roster.
Bill deserves a lot. He has a slice in this, but it's not all on Bill.
No,
and now they've blamed this whole thing on Bill, this whole roster. So Robert Kraft's going to look at it and say, well, Bill put us in this position.
They're talking out of both sides of their mouth because they say Bill put us in this position with the roster.
Not a Patriot
and then they
place.
Went and re-signed half the roster.
Correct.
Like all of the defense, you went and gave Jelani Tavai a contract, Ramondre Stevenson, Christian Barmore, Kyle Duggar, all these guys you went and gave contracts to. But I thought Bill was the one who built this roster. If he built this roster, why are you giving his guys contracts?
I see that, but I also would say they got a lot of those guys on good value contracts. So contracts that you give...
Ramondre Stevenson is not a value contract.
Maybe not Ramondre, but...
Jelani Tavai, you're paying way too much money. He is the third worst linebacker in pass coverage in all of football.
I do think they needed something, though. They needed a foundation of what they wanted to do.
Sure, like, I understand re-signing Kyle Duggar. I absolutely understand re-signing Christian Barmore. Like, those to me made sense. I get that. But then, like, the Ramondre contract, I lost my mind on the air here when it happened. I think I was on with Lions. I freaked out. You should never be paying a running back in this NFL $9 million a year unless his name's Saquon Barkley.
Not even necessarily in this NFL. With this state of the football
team,
that
too.
You cannot afford to pay
a
running back.
Like, it's one thing if you are... Like, the identity of your team is that running back, and your offensive line is really good, and you run the ball for 200 yards a game. Like, that's different. Like, if you're Boise State and you have Ashton Jonte, like, yeah, that's why you pay the guy. That's not the case here. And even a team who had one of those guys let him go in the Giants with Saquon Barkley. They're like, yeah, it doesn't make sense for us to sign this running back because we have so many other issues. Why would we do that? You're paying Ramondre Stevenson $4 million less than Saquon Barkley in a year.
He's only gone over 1,000 scrimmage yards once.
Like, what are we
once.
Doing?
And granted, in fairness, there have been injuries in there, but only
still,
one time has he gone over 1,000 yards scrimmage.
Like, he's not in that upper echelon of running backs.
No.
Like, even before the season, if I said to you, where do you rank Ramondre Stevenson in terms of running backs, he's probably what, like, in the 15 to
that's
20 range?
Right where I would have had him, right in the middle of the pack.
Yeah, like, that's not... You don't pay that guy $9 million a year. You just don't. Because you want to know what? You can go find one in the fourth or fifth round of the NFL draft. They're all available. That's the beauty of this. There's never, ever, ever going to be a bad receiver or running back class ever again.
Ty Tracy, New York. Look
awesome.
At him.
Fifth round pick. He's awesome. Because every kid on the planet is playing wide receiver, running back, and quarterback from the time they start playing football because they're all playing 7-on-7s. There's no more bad running backs and wide receivers anymore. They're all good.
I do get it, but you have to have some semblance of a roster, right? You have the foundation that they wanted to build on, and maybe I get the Ramondre one, but for the rest of the players that these are good value contracts, you have to have some baseline and some. Those were the building blocks. They re-signed the building blocks that they wanted for the future.
Yeah, re-signing Duggar and Barmore are good moves.
Right.
Like, I get it. I'm into that. That makes sense to me. But re-signing on Wenu, good contract. I liked it. That was a fine deal. But, like, you also need to go and find guys outside of your organization to fill out
your
roster.
Well, that's been the problem.
And that's the issue.
And I think that's been a Patriots problem for a while now.
Yeah.
Is going out and getting guys that
are outside
the organization. I mean,
your two big signings in the offseason were Chucks Okorafor and Nick Leverett. They're not on the team anymore. One walked away from football and the other one's ass you cut.
Yeah.
So, like, what are we doing?
Yeah, they had no plan going in, and it felt eerily similar to when Brady departed. There was no succession plan for Bill. There was no succession plan for Brady.
And it brings back that disconnect you mentioned earlier, because you look at it and Gerard Mayo said they were going to win more games than they did last year, but yet they didn't spend any money or bring in enough talent to help the roster get better. All they did was draft a quarterback who they basically lucked into because he was the quarterback left at number three after the first two went.
Well, if you think about it, last 2 years, their biggest addition was a lighthouse. This year, their biggest addition was the power of friendship.
And the scoreboard,
that's right. So big, you got to go out and spend. You got to go out and get guys externally.
It's insane. 617-779-7937. Real quick before we hit the break, let's get Will in Rhode Island on. What's up, Will?
Yeah, hey, I just wanted to say, you know, the Ramondre Stevenson signing you said earlier, I agreed with you at first, you know, that you should never sign a running back, especially with, like, the Patriots. It always seems like we have a running back by committee anyways. But that was more of a signing, I think, you know, because how did you want to introduce a good quarterback? You know, we've always had a good run game, so that's why we kept him. And he was a loyal player. He's been good for us, you know, because without Ramondre, where would we be? that's just why I think that signing was done. I could see us trading him. I kind of want that, get rid of that contract for better receivers. But yeah, I don't know. That's just my take right there. Thanks.
Appreciate it, Will. Thanks. Yeah, like, look, I look back at last season. Ezekiel Elliott was the better running back in this backfield. You could have just re-signed Zeke for way less money, and he's an exceptional pass blocker. Like, Zeke has lost a lot of what he used to be, but he would have been a great, great running back to have with a rookie quarterback, because you want to know something? You line him up in the shotgun with Drake May, he's going to make the block that you need him to make, he's going to protect the quarterback, and then he's also able to leak out and catch the football. He was the best running back you had last year.
And to that caller's point, you're not trading a running back.
No.
It's not happening.
No,
that just can't trade running backs.
No team's going to take that contract.
It doesn't happen.
No. 617-779-7937 if you want to weigh in here on the WEEI Producer Show with Shyman Terp. 37937 if you want to text in as well. We will wrap up this program next here on WEEI. This is the WEEI Producer Show right here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI. Shime and Terp taking you up here for another 5 minutes or so. Real quick, Terp, before we get out of here tonight, let's run through the NFL slate, pick out some games we want. But first, I also want your take. Pats-Browns, what's your prediction for the game tomorrow? Pats-Bears in Chicago, what's your prediction for the game tomorrow?
I think New England keeps it close, but Chicago's going to come out on top, like 28-24, something in
ooh,
that range.
High scoring.
I think
okay.
There's going to be points. I really okay. do. I think this is the two quarterbacks are going to get up for this one. There's something about going against somebody in your class and having that extra motivation. I think the quarterback's going to show out tomorrow.
Yeah, I think it will also be close, but I will give this to the Bears. I think this is just a Bears defense is the best unit in the game, and so they're going to win, and that's kind of where I'm at here. So I'm going to go 2016 Bears.
Moving that Patriots lineup a little bit, definitely a consideration for me tomorrow. We'll see.
Oh, okay. So let's look around the NFL. The big game tomorrow on the 1 o'clock slate, without a doubt, is Steelers at Commanders. I actually really like the Steelers in this spot. Mike Tomlin as a dog has always been one of the best gambling plays you can make over the last few years. I think the Steelers are also really good. I low-key think they're undervalued. And the Commanders haven't beaten anybody good. Like, their best win might be the Bears, which they won on a Hail Mary. Other than that, it was like the Bengals in week three, but that Bengals defense literally still can't stop a nosebleed. So where are you at, Steelers, Commanders?
I'm still going to go with the Commanders. I'm not as high on the Steelers as you are.
Okay.
I haven't seen enough out of there, and I do think that Commanders offense, I give them more credit because it's going to be an offense. It's going to be the Commanders offense versus the Pittsburgh defense. That's mm-hmm. That's where this game's going to be decided, and I have a lot of faith in Cliff Kingsbury.
One of the other standout moments of this Sunday will be the return of Mac Jones. You know where I stand on that fruitcake. Where do you stand on Minnesota versus Jacksonville?
I will be laying the house on Minnesota.
My man.
No problem.
Appreciate you. Am I wrong? Did Nick take the Minnesota defense
for
a touchdown
in
your Bozo
parlay? Bozo. Yeah. I took Justin Jefferson. So
yes, you did. Love that
parlay.
Pick out of you, by the way.
That secondary is atrocious, that Jacksonville
so
secondary. So, same game parlay, Vikings, defensive touchdown for the Vikings, Justin Jefferson.
The other guy I would look at for a touchdown in that game as well, TJ Hawkinson, had finally made his return last week. The Jaguars have been horrendous against tight ends. Hunter Henry lit them up. Cole Kmet lit them up. There is an opportunity there for TJ Hockenson to really make his like first big comeback performance, I think, in that game for the Vikings. The other game, too, that I really like this weekend, it's just a high-scoring game for you, 49ers-Bucks. Where are you at on that one?
Going with the Niners. Ooh, Chris McCaffrey's back.
Yes.
I'm excited. I think that opens, even if he doesn't go crazy, doesn't have a big game. I was so confused when I heard that music coming through. I was like, it stopped for a minute.
Means we're getting out of here.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, Chris McCaffrey, I think he opens up the offense even if he doesn't have a big game.
Nice. I love the Chargers tomorrow. That's my favorite play of the week. And so if you want to ride with me, there you go. That has been the WEEI Producer Show right here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. Terp, thank you very much, bud. Can't wait to work with you again.
Yes, sir.
We will be back. I will be back tomorrow morning with Football Sunday. We'll see you then.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you news stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.